Welcome to the Foolish Adventure Show, where guru hype is banned, lifetime value of a customer is king, and the internet business has replaced the J-O-B as the path to financial success and personal freedom. Now, here's straight talk about making a living online with your host, Tim Conley.
Welcome to the Foolish Adventure Show. This is your host, Tim Conley, and I've got a special guest on here. Her name's Laura Roeder. She is a social media expert, and for long-time listeners, you know I am not a social media expert. I'm a social media dunce, I guess you could say. So I've asked Laura to come on the show. She's been doing a lot of fun stuff. I've been watching her for a few years now, and just watching her grow into being this powerhouse that's all about social media. So I figured, who better to bring onto the show to kind of give you a way to turbocharge your business, your brand, and your bottom line using social media. So what's up, Laura?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. So I've heard that you are traveling the world right now. So how's that going?
I am. It's very fun. This is kind of my first year where I'm doing real long-term travel. I was in Buenos Aires earlier this year, and now I'm in the UK traveling around Europe a little bit, and I'm going to Indonesia next. So it's really fun.
So where at in Indonesia? Kuala Lumpur, or are you going to head over to like Bali?
I'm going to be there for 2 months, so the plan is to travel all over the place. But I don't really know. I don't have any agenda set yet, so we'll see.
Hitting some of the other islands, Bali's like the main place that people like to go to just kind of kick back, but I'm sure there's tons of things to see in all of Indonesia, so I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do like touristy and non-touristy, kind of see it all.
You can stay in Asia for a long time. There's so much to see. I just got back from the Philippines, so I spent a few weeks there with a startup class. So that was exciting. I love this whole world travel stuff.
Yeah, it's a little new to me. I've never done the like sell all your stuff and travel, but that's what I'm doing now, and it's easier than people think it is. I had this whole like, should I put my furniture into storage? But then I'm like, no, I'm just gonna get rid of everything, and then once you've gotten rid of it, you don't care about it anymore.
And I know we're kind of off topic here, but that is an emotional experience.
Yeah.
To get rid of your stuff. It was really tough. A couple of years ago, I just did an experiment for myself to kind of go minimalist. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to see like what things in my life were truly important to me, the physical things. And mm-hmm. I just started giving away everything I owned. I took so much stuff to Goodwill. I literally took tens and tens of thousands of dollars of stuff just to Goodwill. I didn't even bother trying to sell it. I just took it there and just dropped it off. It was really enlightening and lightening experience to just get rid of all that stuff. But the one thing was my books. They just called to me. They're like, you cannot get rid of us.
Yeah, I've never been, I've actually never liked owning books. Whenever I would get a book, I would try to give it away, because to me, that's something that does create a lot of clutter. So I didn't have the emotional book thing.
Oh, I wish I didn't. Because I after getting rid of close to 1,000 books, I still have well over a couple hundred.
Wow.
It's sad because I just, got to touch them every once in a while, pull them off the shelf, flip through them, even though I have my Kindle and love my Kindle.
Yeah, I'm big into Kindle.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into this whole social media thing, because the big thing everybody wants to talk about is like the time suck.
Yes.
That comes from social media. How can someone actually be effective without just spending all their time doing everything that could possibly be done in social media?
The thing about the time suck is what you have to remember about social media is it was designed to waste your time. Especially something like Facebook, where you find yourself, clicking through the photo gallery and watching videos and clicking blog posts. If you look at how you're spending your time on Facebook or on Twitter, you are not spending 3 hours a day marketing your business. It's just not possible. When you look up and you realize you've spent the last 3 hours on Facebook, you're reading blog posts, you're clicking on links, you're looking at photos, you're not talking to people, which is really where the marketing comes in, is that engagement with your audience. Or if you're chatting with people, they're not your customers. So one really easy test that I always tell people to do is, if you haven't left evidence, it doesn't count. So if you look at your own Twitter account, that should be filled with conversations with other people. Like if you spend an hour on Twitter and then you look at your account and you don't see anything, all you did was click links and read blog posts. And that is not going to help market your business. But that's when we say, oh, it's social media takes so much time. That's what most of us are doing, because how much time could it possibly take to type out 140 character messages? Like, you're not spending an hour engaging with people that I've seen.
I find them tricky. Those 140 characters. I tend to be a bit too verbose.
So that's the first place to look in the time stack is, are you actually spending 3 hours marketing your business, or are you spending time reading blogs?
Using it as a form of entertainment.
Right, because that's what's a little tricky about social media is, it is fun. Like, I love to use Twitter and Facebook just for fun, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's such a great tool for marketing, because it is a fun tool. It is a fun way to market, but you can't confuse the two. You can't think that you're helping your business when you're just playing around chatting with people on Facebook, chatting with your friends.
Yeah, so I went back through my Twitter feed for as far as I could at prepping for this, because the way I use Twitter is I use it as a communication tool. Probably 75% of my tweets are just communicating back and forth with colleagues, friends, and just using it just like that. Kind of a voyeur's way of, you know, seeing what kind of conversations I'm having with my friends. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I basically use it. And then I go through for my own feed is for news. I find my tech news and the stuff that I'm interested in. I go through and I pick out news from that, just, you know, I cherry pick it. And then just a small portion of it is promoting, and then also like retweeting stuff that I find interesting. And then the last thing is really small, which is promoting my own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep it really, really light, you know, just here, like usually like no more than once a week. And then the rest of it is just a communication tool. But I don't feel like I'm actually using it well for marketing, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're almost there. You've got some effective and some ineffective, in my opinion. So the thing that you're doing that's right is using it mostly for conversation. Because that's what Twitter is really effective at, is just... it's just getting to know people, getting to know your audience, like you said, forming relationships with colleagues and with partners. And Twitter can be a little hard to define, because I find a lot of the success from Twitter is very serendipitous. A lot of people, the results they get from Twitter are things like, you know, this interview. You and I met on Twitter, connected on Twitter. That's sort of hard to define, but it's something that helps both of our businesses. And I find that a lot of the outcomes from Twitter are that way. But that kind of makes sense when you view it just as a tool to meet with people and to chat with people.
Right.
Because that's how we get those opportunities in our business. And I think sometimes that sort of bothers people because it is a little harder to define, but there is a part that's easier to define too, which is the traffic and which is promoting your business. And that's the side that I would say you probably need a little help on, because once a week, no one is seeing that.
Right.
And what you have to remember for Twitter is, when you feel like you're bombarding people, it's because you see every single tweet that you send out. And this is a common issue. People are like, oh, I feel like I'm just bothering people so much because I'm tweeting about this, you know, 5 times a week. But you read all 5 tweets, but the odds are that your Twitter followers are not going to see all 5 tweets, because the way we use Twitter is we hop on, we see what happens to be there right then. You're almost never looking through someone's Twitter account reading all their back tweets, unless you're doing like research on them or something like that. So once a week, the odds are really low that people are going to see that. And then people don't know what you do. They're not sent back to your site. Like, people need reminders, and they're using it like an RSS reader, just like you are. So you want to be pointing them to your site.
Okay. So, yeah, I used to, like in the early days of Twitter, I used to post a lot more of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of got away from that. I just stepped away and just started using it to communicate with friends. So one of the things you said about engagement on there, I've tried to tell people that I'm accessible on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I will talk to anyone on Twitter because it's been such a boon to me. I've mm-hmm. connected with amazing people because I've just gotten on Twitter and just sent them a message, asked them a question. And I try to convince people that I am accessible on Twitter, but a lot of the people who do follow me and on Twitter, on Facebook, on my show, seldom do they actually contact me on Twitter. So how could I get them to actually engage with me, Ed? Because I don't think I'm that scary.
I mean, two things. One, you definitely have to recognize that the vast majority of an audience is going to be silent. You know, you always have to remind people this when they're worried about the blog comments or things like this. Most people are listening. They're not taking the time to comment or write a tweet or whatever. So that's just to be expected. But I would say for engagement, start reaching out first. Like, even if you don't follow everyone who follows you, which I don't, because I think Twitter gets really out of control really quickly when you're following 10,000 people. But even if you're not following everyone, you can still like click through and see who's following you or put them on a list and just give them quick little responses. And this is the thing about Twitter. You don't overthink it. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to be brilliant. I will often respond
to
someone.
That's good. Because I'm not.
don't worry about it. Like, I will respond to someone with just a smiley face, you know, just being like, hey, I'm here. That's cool. I liked what you wrote. So I would say, like, notice who is following you and just send them a little message, like a little, hey, nice to meet you, or just literally you can write hello, because people think it's so cool that you've reached out to them. And, you know, it might not be sustainable to do that for every follower, but it's something you can do for 10 minutes once a week, kind of look through who's following you and say hi to them. And that makes people feel really taken care of and really like, wow, Tim reached out to me, you know?
Okay. So instead of just telling people they can contact me, I should take a little more initiative and say hello.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I will actually put that into action this week.
See what happens, you know, experiment with it. And I bet you'll meet a lot of interesting new people.
Very cool. Okay, so let's get over to back to that, the marketing, because I really wanted to get into that engagement part. But so the marketing thing, it does feel like when I'm actually sending out stuff about my posts or my blog stuff or my products, that it feels like I'm just kind of imposing. And I know it's all in my head, but so how can I actually do the tweets so that they're not, that they don't feel like marketing, that they feel like a conversation?
Two things. So first of all, you have to remember that people are following you because they want to hear about your business. I mean, that's a really core part of how you represent yourself on Twitter. You know, I've seen you on Twitter. You're certainly not saying, I'm a fisherman. Oh, and I happen to have this tiny business that I never mention. You know, you're linking to your business all the time. You are there as your podcast and your business. So no one's going to follow you if they're offended by your business. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they are following you because they want to hear about your business. And that's what we all forget. And I find that a lot of people have such a hard time with. But you have to remember that not only are you not bothering people, they very actively want to hear about it. That is why they're following you. So let them hear the updates that they want to hear about.
All right. Laura has given me permission yeah, to let people know.
Yes, let people know. And, you know, what I always tell people when you're promoting your business on social media, you want to sort of imagine that you're having a conversation with a friend, telling them what's going on in your business. So imagine that you and I are chatting on Skype and you're like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I just opened up this new product. You know, I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to do well. It's really awesome. I'm not giving you a pitch for it. I'm not trying to sell you about it. I'm just telling you what's up. I'm telling you what's up in my world because you're my friend and you want to know. And that's how I would think about it. And that's how I would word it as well. So I'm not giving you a headline, right? I'm not giving you some sort of like curiosity teaser thing. That can be done and there's times for it. But I find that it works better just to pretend you're chatting with a friend. How would I tell my friend about my new program that I just opened or what I'm working on launching next week?
Okay. All right. So let's go into saying what's like critical about Twitter, because I want to jump onto Facebook here in a second. But what's your critical take on Twitter and what should somebody be focusing on when they're just getting started with it?
Well, you know, in the context of Twitter and Facebook, first of all, I would say that what I'm seeing is that people are getting a lot more juice out of Facebook recently. I used to get so much traffic from Twitter. It used to be number one by far. And for me personally, it's like, I don't know, like number seven or number eight on my list now. I do think Twitter is getting less engagement and less traffic overall. And I would say, I always tell beginners, you do not need to be on every platform starting off, because they do take time. And it works a lot better if you can kind of get in the rhythm of one, kind of get it figured out, feel like you have a handle on Twitter, and then maybe move on to Facebook. So I would actually say, especially if you're starting out, you might not want to worry about Twitter. You might want to worry about Facebook first.
Oh, that's blasphemy, because I love Twitter. And I hate Facebook. No, actually, I don't hate Facebook. I'm actually confused about Facebook.
We can answer that in this interview.
So, see, here's the trick for anyone listening. You get really smart people onto a podcast, and then you get, like, free consulting.
I know. It's a move.
Yeah. So this is fantastic. So over on Facebook, the way I'm using Facebook is, in the early days, I was like, okay, got on Facebook, and I was about to start using my personal page for like everything. And then I started seeing like all my friends who were, you know, marketers and stuff, and they were opening up their personal side to the 5,000 friend limit. And then they hated using Facebook. Yeah. They never went to it. So I made a rule that my personal side of Facebook is personal. Friends and strong acquaintances get into my connection inside the personal, and then tried using the fan pages, and I never quite got the hang of the whole fan page thing.
Well, so the good news is you're not quite as much of a Facebook dunce as you might think, because you have definitely made the right move with your personal profile. So I strongly recommend that everyone not use their personal profile for business, and not just friend everyone, because it always has the same unhappy ending. Like you said, that you've seen over and over again, you reach that 5,000 limit and then you're kind of screwed. There's not really anything you can do from there. Then you're just stuck. And it is changing now that they've introduced subscriptions to personal profiles, because now people can subscribe to your updates and it doesn't have to be a mutual friend thing, and there's not a limit to that. So we'll see how that goes. That could be a good option. But I do what you do, and that's what I advise people do, is just use your Facebook, your personal profile for your personal use, for real friends. And the thing is, there are a lot of problems with that, because, you know, I'm sure it happens to you, it happens to me. People are constantly trying to friend me on Facebook, my personal profile, and I turn them down. And that sucks, because I'm losing out on leads in my business, for sure. And I wish Facebook had a better option to send people to your page, because, like, you can write it on your profile, nobody sees it. I used to send people a message saying, hey, you know, I use this for personal use, connect with me over on my page. And of course, Facebook shut my account down, because it's not like I used a bot or anything, but I was sending the same message to a bunch of people. And so Facebook said I was spamming, which was so hilarious and frustrating, because I was trying to use Facebook according to their terms.
Right.
So it's not a perfect solution, but pages were built for business. Pages have unlimited likes. You can integrate your pages with your advertising campaign if you want to start using Facebook ads. And now that we have Timeline, pages really are kind of a mini website for your business. The new Facebook page navigation looks a lot more like a site, which there's pros and cons to Timeline for sure, which, you know, we may or may not get into. But I think it's kind of cool that you can build yourself a little mini website for your business on Facebook.
Yeah, so I've barely touched the whole fan page thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a business, we'll call it a business page. I've barely touched it at all. I come in, I'll put in, like, each week when there's a new episode, I come in, I put that in there. And every so often, I'll put in something that I find interesting that I've been up to, mm-hmm. related to Foolish Adventure, but not really engaging. And that's what I want it for. I would love, the original idea I thought it would become is like a mini forum. And I never really got that kind of engagement. And I was like, well, why? There's a psychological reason why that the people aren't engaging on that level. So what am I missing to get people to come in and interact with me there?
Well, so the first thing you need to do if you want high engagement on Facebook is you need to send people there over and over and over and over again. So I have pretty high engagement on my Facebook page. It's not as good with Timeline. I used to have really high engagement on my Facebook page, and how I did that was in every newsletter, I have like 10 calls to action. Let's go talk about this on Facebook, which I send out every week. So, you know, in every podcast, in every blog post, in every newsletter, you have to keep emphasizing, let's talk about this on Facebook. And same with Twitter. If you want Twitter to be your main form of communication, you know, let's chat about this on Twitter. I find that you have to tell people so many times before you can get that going. But the bad thing about Timeline, the thing I hate about Timeline, is that people can't post to your wall anymore. So I used to tell people, like, post my wall, you know, it's going to help promote your business too, because you show up on my wall. And that was kind of a nice little incentive. But now Facebook puts all of your wall posts that are not made by you into this little box on the side that's like a little bit buried, and you can't see people's full updates, and it's small, and you have to click to expand it, and you can't feature it on your page, and it kind of sucks. So it is harder now to get that engagement going. Now you have to get the engagement within questions on your page that you pose, which is sort of annoying. I want other people to be able to pose questions, but
right,
you can't really do that anymore. So you need to be asking questions, getting people involved, and then you need to tell people over and over again that Facebook is the place for them to go to connect with you.
Okay, this just popped in my head, and it's probably irrelevant to this conversation, but Since you can have apps created for your business page, would it be possible to create like a conversation app?
Yes, but you'll probably find that you're just making it too much work for people, like to go to your page and then have to click on that app and then figure out how to use it.
Okay.
I mean, it is an option to have a group. And groups have very, very high engagement. Groups are really good for using in an info product or a private membership or something like that. The downside of groups is that you can't use it as a page. You have to use it as your personal profile, and then you're mixing up like your personal profile with your business stuff.
I don't like that at all. Huh, interesting, interesting. So, again, like this whole idea of like not overthinking it. You're like, oh, I'll create a conversation app, right?
You know, you have to remember anything in online marketing, really, you have to make it super, super easy for people. Another little tip for Facebook engagement is give people something specific to do on your Facebook page. So when you're driving people to Facebook, a lot of people will say, like me on Facebook, and it doesn't really work very well. Something that works a little better is to say, check out this picture on Facebook, or check out this video on Facebook, or vote in this poll, or like tell me if you like this picture or that picture better, or, you know, tell me what you think about this video. Does it apply to you? And then put that content inside your Facebook page, you know, link them to an image on Facebook or link them to a video on Facebook, or tell them something specific to post on your page. Don't just say, come say hello or say like post on my Facebook page and tell me where you're located. And then you'll find that people will do that when you give them something specific to do, but it has to be really easy, not like go to this app and then like register yourself and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So I'm telling them, but where's the best place to tell them to then go back to Facebook?
Great question. So for me, it's largely on my newsletter. For you, I would say your podcast. You know, in Creating Fame, I have this program, Creating Fame, where I talk about creating a piece of signature content. And so, you know, you've done a great job with this podcast. People know to expect it regularly. They know that when they think of Tim Conley, they think of what you do here in audio format. For me, I do it with my email newsletter. And that's a great place to say, okay, what did you think about Laura's advice? Like, go post on my Facebook page and tell me, do you think she's wrong or right about this? Or, of course, with a newsletter, it's nice you can do a direct link. You know, click here on this image and tell me what you think about it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I definitely do send out email to people, but it's usually to bring them back to the blog so they can, you know, engage with the episodes. So, I guess that's a place to do it. I could also take people from Twitter to Facebook. Does that even work? Going from like Twitter to Facebook, or do people prefer to just stay on the platform they're already on?
I mean, it's always, you know, it's not a black and white. It's always a balance of...
Damn it. Sort of, why can't it be just a black and white? Like, I just want an answer.
It's a balance of exposing people to your different social media properties without confusing people. And I would say, just think of it like there needs to be a reason why you're talking to them on that platform. So, for example, on Facebook, you can host images and videos on your Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can't do that on Twitter. You're always linking to somewhere external. So that's sort of an easy way to think about it. If you want people to watch a video, then put the video on your Facebook page, and then your tweet might reference that video, which happens to live on your Facebook page. So now you're getting people over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm sitting here taking notes. All right. That's excellent. I want to get some advice for the people listening. So two different groups that listen to the show, those who are just starting out and those who have been doing their online business for a while. So for the people just starting out, can you give them advice on what to do about social media? And for those who have been doing this for a while, what can they do to like just get the most leverage out of it?
So something we haven't chatted about yet that applies really to both groups is automation. So I heard you say that you go to your Facebook page once a week and you post the latest podcast. Does that mean that you don't have it set up to post automatically when you have a new one?
Right, because I talked to some SEO guys and saying that they found that with Facebook that if you don't have it, if you use automation tools, that they tend to not get as much exposure as if they've been manually put in.
That's a rumor, but I've read articles, and so this is, you know, different people will tell you different things. I've read articles with data that say that's just a rumor, like there's no data to back that up.
Okay.
So that's my take on it. You know, some people have a different take. And also, but you know what? It's kind of an interesting issue, because I would say, even if that was true, even if it was like maybe it gets less exposure, I would say, well, is it really worth it not to have it automated? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't it kind of be better if you had to spend no time on it, even if it did get 5% less exposure? Because then you would make sure that it gets done.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would think of it that way. Like, to me, there's no reason that you shouldn't have your blog posts going automatically to Facebook and Twitter. And again, this is something that definitely social media experts disagree on. Some of them don't like automation. But my point of view is, like, you're running a small business. You don't have all day to spend on social media. You need to start automating this kind of stuff, you know? And if you're just copying and pasting the link to your blog, I don't see that as a super valuable way to spend your time, personally.
Well, I usually add, when I go there, I usually add in the description area not just the link, but also a short thing about it, usually like a separate kind of headline to get people to check it out there on Facebook.
So my advice would be to do that and the automation, because again, you need to post it more than once. So that way, with the automated link, you know that it's been posted, and then maybe a day or two later, you come in, add your own little commentary, you know, to drive people's attention again.
Okay. All right.
And I also highly recommend that you automate status updates on social media. So it's very important to engage with people one-on-one. Like I said, that's how you should be spending most of your time on Twitter. But that doesn't mean that you always have to start the conversation live. So you can go into your social media accounts and, I mean, one really easy thing to do is just share links. So I use a tool called Buffer. And what Buffer does is it just adds updates to a queue. So you're not having to choose, like, this one's going to go out, you know, Tuesday at 3 o'clock. It just adds it to a big queue, and then you choose how often those go out. So for me, I have those going out once a day. And then as I'm browsing the internet, I just, when I find an interesting blog post, I just stick it in my Buffer. And then, you know, you're customizing the update. So you can add your own little commentary. You can choose if you want it to go to Twitter or Facebook or both or whatever. And then I know that every single day I'm sharing an interesting link with my audience, and I mix that up. I also make sure to put my own blog posts in there as well, an old post or maybe an opt-in or maybe something else I want to link to. So that's a way for me to schedule and automate having valuable content every day, and then I can go back and see what people have said about the link and respond to them.
So is that the only tool you use for social media automation?
I use Buffer and Hootsuite, and I get this question a lot, like, why would you use both? What's the difference? So I use Buffer to put things in a queue when I'm not choosing when they go out. So Buffer is just like a long list of links. Hootsuite is what I use when I want to choose a specific day and time. So a great example of how I used Hootsuite recently, I recently did a big live online party, and that lasted for 3 hours. So I'm like, okay, during the party, I want to be posting on Twitter and Facebook that the party's going on, but I'm hosting the party, right? So I don't have time to go over and be typing status updates. So I scheduled once an hour during the party an update to go out to say, hey, I'm on live right now, like, come check it out. So those needed to go at a specific day and time. So that's how I'll use Hootsuite.
That's interesting. I like that. Because that's the one thing that I've done, like doing some live stuff online, and it's really difficult to then try to respond to somebody on Twitter while you're trying to talk to somebody else or present at the same time. So I think that's a little, that is definitely a clever tip.
Mm-hmm. And it's not about, it's like you don't, it's not about pretending that you didn't schedule things in advance. I mean, it's no secret. Like on Facebook, it says, you know, from Hootsuite, from Buffer. So people usually, I mean, most people won't notice or know what it means, but if they want to, they can know that it's automated. And that's where I think this whole automated conversation gets a little weird. I'm not pretending that I didn't load this up in advance. I don't see anything wrong with finding interesting links and then sharing them with people. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't see anything evil or negative in that. So when we talk about automating, we're not talking about like having bots pretend that they're you or pretend that you're somewhere they're not. It's just a way to make your life easier to make sure that you are sharing things regularly and communicating regularly, because that's what people want. They want an interesting link from me every day. There's no reason not to make that happen.
Yeah, the bot I was using for Twitter was just so much more clever than me, so I had to stop using it.
Robot.
So, Laura, I've really enjoyed this conversation. So what's the last words of wisdom we can get from you?
The last words of wisdom is just don't stress about it. You know, I always tell people, like, it's just Facebook. It's just Twitter. Like, don't take it too seriously. Again, you don't have to have these elements in your business. If it's effective for you, then go for it. But there's not just one right way to do it. I don't look at people and say, oh, you're doing Facebook wrong. I think there's a million different ways to do it. I give advice to people who want it on what I see working. But don't stress so much about if you're doing it right or not. Like, just jump in and talk to people and have fun with it.
Okay, so those listening, you may have heard a few cutouts there. We're talking from the U.S. to the U.K., so... We missed a bit from you about the don't stress over it. So what did you say right after that? Because it cut out.
I think I was just repeating myself. I just said, don't stress, have fun. You can't do it wrong.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So, Laura, what's the best way for anyone to get a hold of you? Because you do a lot of training on social media. So can they find you on Twitter? Where do they find you on Facebook? Where do they find you out there in the wide world?
In the wide web. So my website is lkrsocialmedia.com. And my Twitter name is LKR. It's easy to remember. And my Facebook page is Get the Dash, facebook.com/GetTheDash.
Very cool. Very cool. For everyone listening, hopefully you've got a lot of value out of this episode. I know I did because I've got quite a few notes of things that I'm going to implement on Twitter and in Facebook. So this has been really good for me. So hopefully you guys got as much value out of this as I did. So until the next time,
enjoy your foolish adventure.
You've just listened to The Foolish Adventure Show with Tim Conley. To get more straight talk about making money online and building a successful internet business, go to foolishadventure.com. There, you can opt into the Freedom File newsletter. You'll also get access to the Foolish Guide to Launching Products video training module, over an hour and 20 minutes of business building knowledge that can generate tens of thousands of dollars for your new product. Enjoy your foolish adventure.